Dear Paul, thank you so much for your letter. It was lovely to hear from you. It's good to know you still think of us here in Corinth and try to help us. How are things your way? I bet you have some tales to tell. Life here in Corinth is just the same as ever. We're still all going along to worship God, the God of our people. It's lovely to listen to the hymns and the talks and share Eucharist. It really sets us up for the week. What's that you say? Are we using our spiritual gifts for the common good? Well, some of us are. Some of us are using them like Billy-O. Fred never stops working. He opens up the church, sweeps it through, leads the prayers, reads the reading, counts the money, does the tea, and mends the roof in his spare time. He fell asleep on the pew last week. Can't think why. What's that you say? You are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. So we're all the body of Christ. The body is not made up of one part, but of many. I guess then, if we think about our physical bodies, it works together. Each part has a specific function that's necessary to the body as a whole. We're only able to talk because our heart pumps blood around the body. So each little bit of the body needs to do its bit to enable the body to live. So what you're saying, Paul, is that the church is the same. It needs all the people in it to do a little bit to enable the church to live. See, the problem with that, though, Paul, is that some of us are really busy. Those of us who work long hours and look after children or relatives who are not so well as they were, it's very difficult to find time for the church. And some of our members are older now and not as fit and healthy as we once were, and they really need a break. What's that you say? God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So every person is in just the right place as they are for God's purposes. But how does that work in reality, I wonder? Well, I guess that somebody that's perhaps older and more tired and who feels they can't run around doing jobs anymore could just listen. Our older people have such wisdom to share, wisdom from life, from all the things they've experienced and seen. We live in a society that no longer has the secure family ties in which people grew up, and we have younger, stressed people who are really in need of an experienced, kind, older person to slow them down and listen to them. But what about those of us who are busy, Paul? I know I often feel that time is my enemy because there's never enough of it. What's that you say? Do something small, something manageable. It hasn't got to be a weekly commitment. It could just be once a month, perhaps, or when that need arises. What have you written here? The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So every person is needed, every single person. Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. That's nonsense, isn't it? We all belong to the body, whoever we are and whatever we do. So you're telling me that everybody needs to do something. That part of being a disciple, part of following Christ, is giving of ourselves to him. Our spiritual gifts are given to us for serving God and enhancing the spiritual growth of the body of believers. If we don't all pull together, Paul, we have a church like this picture. Please, Phil. If you can see it. There's the big church, and it's got one person doing loads of stuff and sending love every which way that they can. But it doesn't fill the church because there's only one of them. And what happens is, as you can see on the other side, they end up asleep or worn out. Because no one person can run a church, can they? It's impossible. Even Jesus didn't operate like that. He equipped his disciples to work miracles, to share his words, to cast out demons. If we all do a little bit, even if it's one thing, we have a church that's a bit like this picture. Every person doing one loving thing and it fills the church. My spiritual gift is not art, okay? I'll just mention that. So the baby at the end, that's supposed to be a baby, looks like a dog. It's really not my spiritual gift. But you can see that if by doing one thing, sending that bit of love, because there's many of them, you can fill the church with God's Holy Spirit. Thank you. And Paul, you've written that those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it. You see, Paul, we've got this awful habit here of thinking some roles are more important than others. Some roles are more special. And then we think, well, I could never do that. But actually, every role is dependent on others. I was talking to Helen Morrison. Do you remember her when you were here, Paul? And she was explaining how everyone is needed. It's all very well having a priest, but he, she can't preside at the Eucharist if nobody has ordered the wine and the bread. There's no point presiding at the Eucharist if no one has been welcomed into the church. So the roles we do are all equally important. Welcoming people, being hospitable, reaching out to the community, cleaning the building, fixing the things, reading, speaking, singing, playing, painting, arranging, organising, sharing, talking, and being there. They're all important and of equal value. The best thing then, I suppose, is to find a role that suits our spiritual gift. If we're organised, find an organisational role. If we're creative, find a creative role. If we're practical, a practical role. The things that inspire us will motivate us, and then we can enjoy the gifts we have. Sometimes, though, we're frightened to have a go. I had a friend who was frightened of formality, afraid of getting it wrong. But now she does it all the time because she discovered that there's always people to teach you, isn't there? Those wise people who've done it for years, they know what they're doing and they can help you. And he who makes no mistakes makes nothing at all. And we must remember, mustn't we, Paul, that our gifts are not restricted to church. We'll use our gifts in our jobs, with our families, with the people who we interact with in the community. The other day I met a woman in the street who was upset because her pet was ill, and we chatted for a while, and although I may never see her again, I think the meeting was God-given. But what about those roles that don't inspire us particularly, but just have to be done? Well, perseverance and determination and loyalty are God-given qualities, I think, and sometimes it takes those qualities to get you through something. But I guess what you would say, Paul, is try and ensure that we pay attention to those aspects of our personality that we may have neglected. We all need nourishment from God in order to serve him. And equally, if we're struggling with something, whether in church or out, we need to tell each other. Because as it says, if one part suffers, every part suffers. So we have to be here for each other and to celebrate the joys. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with them. There's no thing as private or individualistic Christianity. We need to care for each other. We're all different, but we have one thing in common, which is faith in Christ. We're all baptised by one Holy Spirit into one body of believers, the church. We don't lose our individual identities, but we have an overriding oneness in Christ. And when a person becomes a Christian, the Holy Spirit takes up residence and he or she is born into God's family. We were all given, it says here, the one Spirit to drink. That means that the Holy Spirit fills our innermost beings. And as members of God's family, we may have different interests and different gifts, but we have a common goal. Many thanks, Paul. I'll share these thoughts with the church. God's blessings from Corinth. Amen.